Hello and welcome to this super awesome special Halloween episode of Spooky Gals. Woo. We're your hosts. I'm Katrina.
And I am Jasmine, and we have a very, very special guest today.
A very special guest.
Who do we have?
We have Lucy from Wine and Crime.
Hello.
Woo, hello, Lucy. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I am such a massive fan of Wine and Crime. I'm like fangirling a bit. But for any loser who hasn't heard of it, do you want to describe it?
Yeah, sure. So Wine and Crime is a podcast where three friends chug wine, chat true crime, and unleash our worst Minnesotan accents. So I'm not sure if you across the pond people can really tell when we slip into our Minnesotan accents, but
no, I'm really bad at it.
Oh, it's pretty good.
So one of my best friends here in Hong Kong, she is from Minnesota, and it's hilarious because she only like slides into the accent when she's really drunk. Oh yeah, it's beautiful to witness. So I assume that's why you guys drink the wine, to kind of aid that sort of aid that journey.
Yeah,
into the
yeah. It when we're all around each other too, we sort of egg each other on with it.
God. Yeah, I can imagine.
This is once again a truly international feat right here. So I am, of course, in Hong Kong, China. Mm-hmm. And Katrina is in Liverpool, England.
Yeah.
And Lucy, where exactly are you in the States?
I'm in Des Moines, Iowa.
Ooh.
So right in the
just
middle.
Like the Slipknot album.
And she has a cat.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Ray is joining me as he usually does.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
He's a big fatty. Baby. Come here. Get on screen. Sometimes he's camera shy.
It's okay. We forgive him.
But yeah, Slipknot's from here. So
yes, yeah. I was gonna say cool. I like that a lot. I like the rep.
Yeah,
very, very cool.
Great,
very,
very cool.
And Jasmine actually just went out to buy some wine in your honor.
Yes, I did.
Oh, thank you. It's 9 a.m. for me, so I'm gonna pass on the drinking. I got some ice water, though.
I do feel like I'm the only one of us who is in a time zone, which makes it fully okay to be drunk. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't put it past myself to be drunk at either 3 o'clock or 9 a.m.
Yeah.
But I do think 10 p.m. is a more universally respected time. So
yeah.
I will rep for all of you. It's all good.
What are you drinking?
This is a Oyster Bay Sauvignon Blanc 2017, and it is warm. It is very warm. It, you know, like when Bear Grylls drinks his own piss, it kind of feels like that.
Okay. At least it's not hot.
Yeah, it's just tepid.
She ran out for it 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, and I was shocked that the 7-Eleven around the corner in this like tiny local Chinese village did not sell ice cubes. They had two kinds of wine, red or white, of course, and no ice cubes. So, you know what? It's fine. It's all fine.
I feel like you got lucky with the Oyster Bay Sauvignon Blanc, though, in a remote area of Hong Kong.
Honestly, go Hong Kong. Shout out to
Tin Wan.
It would
have been just like a little man's own blend of white wine.
You know what?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if they're just like using the Oyster Bay bottle and it's like, yes. Fresh from the sea.
Maybe.
Just like the Victoria Harbour just bottled and sold off. But anyway, it's really great to have you, Lucy. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. We're very excited. So our plan for this episode is to first sort of interview you about maybe some of your own spooky experiences.
Okay.
We know that you are an avid collector of slightly morbid things, so I would love for you, if you have your jar of goat bones.
Oh yeah,
if you wouldn't mind shaking bones. Them
shake so. Your bones, shake your bones, girl, shake your bones.
So yeah, they're beautiful. Bones from a goat tail.
Oh,
nice.
And they're in this beautiful cactus-shaped jar.
beautiful.
It was made for drinking. It's got a little straw on the top. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, those are my bones. Delicious. Well, some of them.
Some of them.
Just a few.
Because you do actually also have some human bones.
Oh yeah. So you can maybe see behind me.
What was above her name? This,
Lori. Oh, well, that's what I call her. They're just human arms and hands. And they sit like this around my plants.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Sort of see my plants on my back windowsill.
And I was going to ask a question. Is that Chucky in the picture?
The painting? It was actually a self-portrait of a friend of mine. She had a photo of herself as a baby sitting in a basket.
Aww.
And I'm not sure why she decided to, like, creepily streak the eyes, but there's
there's something some
creepy
very
streaks
ominous
on the eyes. Oh, I'm
enjoying
it.
I'm enjoying it because you know, like the new Chucky series just began today, so I was like, oh my god, creepy doll, amazing coincidence. So creepy baby.
Well, if anyone's the creepy doll, it's Tressa here. Ooh, she's right here.
Tressa.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh. That sounds so cool, Katty, and I love weird shit like this.
Okay, that is a thing. That's wow.
This is Tressa.
Tressa. Yeah.
She's magnificent. I love
her. She has no eyes.
Correct. They're just voids.
Tressa sees everything. She sees it all.
Her eyes are in. They're in her head. They're
does she jangle? Wow. Oh.
Well, just her eyeballs are somewhere inside her. Her head. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. Horrifying.
Fucking love it.
Is she haunted?
I don't think so. She gives me good vibes.
Oh, good. Okay, that's all that matters.
I like her. Yeah.
I think I was getting that same feeling. I feel like that was a really beautiful moment where she looked right into my soul. I feel rather cleansed actually now.
That's good.
She saw you, and maybe how and when you die. Also,
I would love to know. Actually, well, no, that's a fun question to start off our interview. Okay, to start off our interview, if you could know when you were to die, would you want to know? Lucy, you go first.
No, it takes the excitement out of it. It's kind of fun to think like you could die at any moment. In any manner of ways.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, but I have like severe death anxiety. So, I'm not going to think about it too much, otherwise I'm going to spiral and then I'll be useless for like a week.
Yeah, yeah. So, let's not think about it too hard.
What about you, Jasmine?
I think I'd like to know.
Oh, of course you would.
I mean, because then I could know how much money I could spend, you know? Because most of my life is like, well, what if I need that? What if I need that money in the future to stop myself from being homeless? But if I'm going to die next week, fuck it. I'll just buy.
I'm glad you're in that financial position because I have like £50 in my bank account.
I mean, £50, which you could spend today.
Yeah, if I don't have to get like buses to university for the next month, I could spend that £50.
What would be the point of university if you knew that you were going to die at a certain...
Precisely.
You know.
That's exactly. Also true.
Lucy knows.
Very wise.
She knows.
So, after we've conducted our spooky interview, I thought you'd appreciate this with the bones. I have some, I have four practical uses for human bones.
Ooh.
So I will be reading that.
Love that. Okay.
And then we have a game to play.
Yes, which I downloaded the file.
Did you? I'm so excited. it originally started as Cryptid Snog Marry Avoid. I'm not sure if you like
Fuck Marry Kill, but
but thinking like ethically, most of these creatures aren't like humans, so maybe we should make it a hug rather than snog. But that's only if you choose to. I mean, I know Jasmine loves to toe the line and try and piss as many people off as possible, try and offend as many people, so she can stay with snog. But there are some creatures on this that, like, you know, you definitely would want to keep it friendly.
Okay.
You never know.
You never know. I mean, if that's your thing, like,
We're not here to yuck your yum.
Yeah.
That's like, an amazing. What was that? We're not here to yuck your yum. That was the most beautiful. I love it. But like, do you see how it sounds very cute when you say it, Lucy? But when I say it, it sounds like a really snooty old man.
It's the accent, man.
It is. Yuck your yum.
Yeah, you sound like a dirty old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in a trench coat in a park. Like, Lucy, in front of children.
Lucy, do you know what a nonce is?
Can't say I do.
I only ask because one of my friends here would use the word very liberally to describe like everything. Like, oh, that wall's noncy. Oh, that floor's noncy. And I was like, how is the wall a pedo? How is it a pedo?
Yeah, it means pedophile.
Oh,
yeah. And she was like, it means pedo. I thought it meant ugly. And I was like, oh no.
That's amazing. Is it like N-O-N-C-E?
Yes.
Nonce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like British slang, but like, again, it's like, you know, like back in the day, kids always used to call things gay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's the same as that, but like.
Okay.
British yeah, kids call each other pedos.
It's fallen out of fashion now. Yeah.
It's fine.
I'm so sorry.
Ugh.
Bring it to the States. I love you, Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy, that can be your. Your calling is to bring the word nonce to the US.
I'm feeling super cultured all of a sudden.
Yeah, so whenever you are ready, Lucy.
I'm ready. I was born ready.
We would love to hear any spooky stories that you have, any personal stories, especially if you brought home a cursed object. We love cursed objects.
Literally, yes.
Our last Halloween episode was on cursed objects.
Ooh.
Which we did with Brooke from Wise.
We love
who's
you,
amazing. Yeah, so we each did like two cursed objects.
That you personally own?
No. Thankfully not that we own.
Well, I'll start off by telling you about Robert the Doll because I have this snow globe right in front of me.
Oh,
have you heard?
Oh my God. Yes, we covered him on was it a Patreon episode?
I think it was the Halloween episode, wasn't it?
Was it the Halloween episode? Yeah.
Cursed objects.
Robert the Doll snow globe. Oh.
Yeah. So he's awesome. He lives in Key West, Florida, and I was just there this past July. So I had to go see him, obviously.
Obviously.
And Tressa's a big fan also. So he's in the museum and he has like, there are signs all around saying like, ask Robert before you take his photo. Don't be rude to him. All this stuff. And then there's a screen that plays a slideshow of letters that people have sent to Robert being like, I'm so sorry I called you creepy. On our way home, we almost got in a car accident and drove off a cliff and all this
oh my God.
Robert, please forgive me. Like letters. So, much like Tressa, I got good vibes from Robert. I asked him if I could take his photo. He seemed like he had a good attitude. Yeah,
aww,
I think he just likes fucking with people. He's just playful. So, yeah, here's his snow globe.
It's gorgeous.
Thanks.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
I mean, okay, so I'm quite annoyed that Robert the Doll gets signs around him. I would really like those signs myself. Honestly.
Ask before
do not interact.
Yeah.
Please ask permission before speaking.
Yeah. I can email you some of the pictures that I took.
Oh, please do. Yeah. We'll upload them as well with the episode. Yeah.
So I love Robert. So like because I was the one that researched him. So I wanted to ask you, Robert, does he look wooden to you? Because in the pictures I thought he was made of wood until I like really zoomed in and then I realized, oh, that's just weird colored fabric.
I thought it was like foam. Like he looks foamy to me.
So he's old. He's really old. I think he's what was it? There is information about what he's made out of and it is some sort of like wood pulp type material.
Oh, okay.
So you're not wrong. He does look oddly like raggedy, for lack of a better word. Oh, here, I found him. This is the picture that I took of him.
Hello.
Oh, cute.
Dear Robin.
That is a good picture.
It's a very good picture.
But yeah, his material is a little bit odd.
Mm. Like sponge.
It's like spongy, it's like
sponge,
spongy
yeah.
boy.
Aww. But he's like, you know, turn of the century sort of old doll.
Aww.
Yeah, he's very, very odd looking.
Mm. I love him very much.
Yay.
Thank you for that. So did you buy that snow globe at the museum?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's heavy. It actually put my suitcase over the weight limit on my way home. But it was worth it.
It's worth it.
Robert got merch. He got merch.
Yeah.
He made it.
He's got merch. I also have a Christmas tree ornament.
A Robert the doll Christmas tree ornament.
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh my God.
You have it? We're like fangirling over a doll.
I know. I love Robert.
Oh my God. I love
Oh.
He just has all this weird merch.
What does it say
so
on the
back it says
live, laugh, love.
Yeah. Live, laugh, curse. It says science tells us dolls are inanimate objects, but those who care for Robert the doll know better. Robert has earned the reputation as the most haunted doll in the world. RobertTheDoll.org.
Nice.
Ooh, that's nice. Yeah. I would like to see him in a fight to the death with Annabelle, though.
I was going to say, what does Annabelle fucking think about that shit? I bet she is pissed. She must be pissed. So you've met the infamous Robert. How about the bone collecting thing? When did you get into that very, very interesting hobby?
You know, so my dad is very much like a fisherman, hunter, kind of. He enjoys being out in nature. He enjoys his activities. I am not super into fishing. I'm definitely not into hunting. But once the violence and pain is over, I do like to poke at dead things.
Nice.
He grew up in a sort of a smaller town, didn't have a lot of money. So for his lunch money, he would like trap small mammals and sell their pelts for extra money since he was like 8 years old. So he taught me how to skin animals and dry out their hides and things like that. So and then whenever I found like bones in the woods, he'd be like, oh, yeah, that's from a whatever. And
you were like, mine.
Yeah. So I've always always liked like bones and stuff.
That's cool.
And in my old apartment, it was by a river, and I found a beaver skeleton. So I just took the skull and I boiled it in my apartment building, and my husband got so mad. He's like, we throw that pot away now. It reeks in here. So, you know,
like
boiled
beaver.
Off all the soft tissue. And
nice.
And so now that his name is Justin Beaver, and he lives in my curiosities cabinet. So,
awesome.
Yeah, I've got some skulls around here. Here's one. This is a bobcat.
I love his teeth.
That's so, cool.
Yeah, I have a friend who does a lot of taxidermy, so I have quite a few articulated pieces by him.
Ooh.
And this is one of them.
Wow.
She cute.
And this one, it's kind of yellowish. He did like a natural finish on it, but you can incorporate peroxide, and then it would look like
she a bottle blonde now, honey.
So this one was sent to me by a listener, also a bobcat. But you can see the difference in color just on how they're treated.
Oh, that's so cool.
So, same animal. So, yeah, I keep my two bobcats in here, but the rest of them are in my cabinet in my dining room. You know, where we eat.
So spooky.
I also have some wet specimens, so like just things in jars floating in formaldehyde.
And have you ever gotten any bad vibes from any bones?
Not from bones, but my other cursed object story. I'll make it really quick. I was at an antique store and I found a Victorian post-mortem portrait.
Oh.
But it's of a whole living family, and there's maybe like 10 people. And then in the front, there's a little boy who's maybe like 5 years old, and he's propped up in a chair, but he's not alive. Mm. And he's holding a doll. So they used to, you know, take their portrait with maybe the child's favorite thing.
Yeah.
And this is probably the only picture of any of these people. So that's like their family photo. Ugh. So it's $2. Of course I bought it.
Hell yeah.
Whoever was pricing it, I don't think noticed.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of like a really great horror film. Like, white girl goes into a shop and sees a weird painting and goes, that's mine now. Takes it home like nothing's wrong.
Yeah. Well, so I had this picture on my, at the time it was an oddity shelf because it was in my old apartment. Mm. Didn't have the cabinet yet. And I'd show people who came over. It was just sort of like a weird thing. And then one night I was home by myself and I heard something hit the floor and I was like, oh, what? One of the cats is doing something. And I walked out of my bedroom and both of the cats were like, their tails were puffed up and they were all like low to the ground. I was like, okay, that wasn't either of the cats. And I saw the picture face down on my floor and I was like, okay, I'm gonna pick this up and I'm gonna be respectful and then I'm gonna shut my door and I'm gonna go to sleep. I'm gonna deal with this in the morning.
Oh my God.
And like 10 minutes later, I'm falling back to sleep. I have my eye mask on and my bedroom door was shut and I felt like something on my pillow next to my head. And I like kind of reached over to see which cat it was. And neither of my cats were in my bedroom.
Oh my God.
So I'm like rubbing my crystal right now. So I consulted my psychic and he was like, oh yeah, that was the boy's mother angry because you're displaying this photo. And the photo is made of, you know, like paper, so wood, so it retains a lot of the energy. And he said that she had this photo and like a lock of her son's hair on her bureau for the rest of her life after he passed away. So all of her grief was in this photo. So that's why she had that reaction. And then the on my pillow was the little boy. He got scared because of that. So he was trying to like be comforted. So I cleansed the picture. I sucked out all the bad energy. I put it away, kind of release, asked the little boy not to come back because it creeps me out. And now I don't show it to people anymore, but I still have it.
Yeah, I was about to ask like what you did with it, but I suppose it's you can't just throw it away.
Oh God, no. No, it's in a more private place. It's not in my cabinet anymore.
Good.
Oh. Yeah,
damn.
So I wouldn't call that cursed, but it was
creepy.
It was definitely energy.
Yeah,
it's definitely haunted. Not anymore, though. I don't think.
Oh my goodness! Gosh, I love that shit.
Yeah,
I love that shit.
So awesome. Well, that's my story.
But yeah, wow. Thank you, though. Like that was because actually, so I was going to say the lock of hair, you mentioned like a lock of hair, right? Did I remember that wrong? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the psychic thought that the mom had with the photo.
Yes. So I remember reading about this thing called a memento mori, right? Or like a mourner's jewelry pendant, which they had like in Victorian times. And you would have a lock of someone's hair, and you'd have it like mounted and set into like a pendant or something and you'd wear it. And it was meant to like, I think memento mori just means remember you will die. I mean, Katty is the Latin expert. So I think that's what memento mori means.
Don't ask me. No.
But yeah, like it's always so interesting because the Victorians, they welcomed death. It was such a natural part of life. It was, we live and we die and that's just how it is. And death was something that was so accepted to the point of literally taking pictures of your dead. And it's always interesting to me, like how we went from being so accepting of death, maybe because kids died very young and people didn't live very long, to now where everyone's like, we must never die. We must become vegan and never eat carbs ever again.
Oh God.
Very, very compelling.
Yeah.
Just kill me now. Sorry, about the memento mori.
Yeah.
I went to the Funeral History Museum in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
That's hair. That's a Victorian hair wreath.
Wow.
That whole thing is hair.
That's so cool.
Yeah. That's my reaction to it. Yeah. So I'll send you these pictures too.
Yes, but please do. Okay. So this article that I'm about to read is from Atlas Obscura, and it is 4 practical posthumous uses for human bones. The human skeleton is the most enduring part of the human body. When well preserved, bones can survive thousands of years. The skeleton tends to be treated with reverence and honour because it is recognisably human and is all that remains of the physical embodiment of the deceased. Human bones are often kept by religious orders or family members as relics for veneration and remembrance, because many cultures believe human remains retain the physical and spiritual essence of the deceased. Bones are thought to possess supernatural powers, provide good luck, block evil spirits, or provide protection, and are often kept as amulets, talismans, or trophies. Cultures all over the world have some pretty ingenious ways of creatively reusing human bones. Frequently, human bones are carved and repurposed into jewellery, cups, musical instrument, and weapons.
And ashtrays.
And ashtrays. Mm. So, jewellery first. The Neolithic culture of Neuchâtel, Switzerland, carved the cranial bones of their deceased into amulets. Cranial amulets were recovered from an archaeological site in Neuchâtel that are estimated to have been made around 3500 BC. These Neolithic amulets were oval and perforated at one end, and the edges were finished and rounded. Archaeologists have also found similar amulets at sites in Port Conti, Le Lance, and Concise, also in Switzerland. Archaeologists have also unearthed trophy necklaces made from metacarpals, metatarsals, and hand and foot phalanges associated with cultures in the Plains, Great Basin, and Mexico. This practice is related to warfare and gave warriors prestige because they were a symbol of victory.
I thought you said gay warrior prestige. I was like, good for them. Good for them.
Gave warriors prestige. Gay warrior prestige.
It does take all kinds. Mm-hmm.
Gay power is very lame, but gay warrior prestige, hell yeah.
Amazing. Hell yeah. So, kapala, Sanskrit for skull, are ritual cups used in Buddhist and Hindu tantric ceremonies. These cup skulls are sacred because of their ritual purpose, not because they came from a holy person or ancestor. Monks recover the crania used to carve kapala from sky burial sites, which I love as well. Like, let me be eaten by vultures.
Yeah, it's a recycling thing.
Circle of life.
Or from bodies pulled from the Ganges River. Once the remains are cleaned, monks carve elaborate designs and decorate them with prestigious metals and jewels. Tibetan monasteries used kapala to hold dough cakes or wine that are symbolic representations of flesh and blood as offerings to wrathful deities. Kapala are used in rituals like higher tantric meditation to achieve a transcendental state of thought within the shortest possible time and to offer libation to the gods and deities to win them favours.
Wow.
And then next we have some musical instruments.
Ooh.
There is a Tibetan kangling trumpet made from human femurs.
A trumpet?
A trumpet made from a human femur.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That even work?
So in Tibet, Buddhists play an instrument called a kangling, translated as leg kang, flute ling. It is like a trumpet flute made from a human femur.
Cool.
Tibetan Buddhists prefer to use the femur from the corpse of a criminal or a person who has died a violent death for the instrument.
Yikes.
But in a pinch, the femur of a respected teacher may be a substitute.
Wait, so let me get this straight.
Okay.
Yeah. They go from murderer.
A felon and a teacher are on par. They are the same thing.
I mean, if you don't have a criminal, then a teacher will do. The kangling is used in Himalayan Buddhism during tantric rituals and funerals as a way of eliminating the attachments to the body and as a reminder that this physical existence is temporary.
Lovely.
And then lastly, we have weapons. So, archaeologists working in Guam in the 1990s found evidence that the indigenous people of the island, the Chamorros, used human bones to make barbed spear tips. Archaeologists who excavated a cemetery dating between 1000 AD and 1521 AD unearthed barbed spear points made from human bones in two burials. They found evidence that the Chamorros obtained the necessary bones from select portions of decomposed bodies and preferred the long bones like the tibia, fibula, and radius.
Ooh.
And there you go, that's for that article.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And then I have one more from the National Geographic, which is members of a pre-Aztec civilization, the ancient human bone sculptors turned relatives into tools.
Ooh, I love that.
Femurs and skulls of freshly dead were used to make buttons and combs, scientists say. Members of a pre-Aztec civilization used human bones, likely from their freshly dead relatives, to make buttons, combs, needles, spatulas, and dozens of other everyday utensils, Mexican archaeologists say. The discovery comes from a new analysis of 5,000 bone fragments found in the ancient city of... I can't pronounce this.
Just say it.
Teotihuacan?
Tijuana?
All right.
Teotihuacan.
Okay.
Insert word here.
Found in an ancient city, a large archaeological site about 30 miles northeast of Mexico City. Femurs, thigh bones, tibias, shin bones, and human skulls were transformed into household items shortly after their death, noted team leader Abigail Meza Penaloza of the National Autonomous University of Mexico. They used different stones as knives to finally remove the flesh and muscle from the bone. The bodies had to be as fresh as possible because after a person dies, his or her bones quickly become too fragile to sculpt. What's more, the bones used to make the artifacts appear to be from locals who were traditionally buried under the floors of their family homes. The archaeologists also found that artifacts were made only from the bones of adults in their prime, perhaps because children's bones were too fragile, while the bones of the elderly might carry diseases such as osteoporosis. So what would you like your bones to be? I'd go for buttons, personally. I like buttons.
Yeah, I like the idea of them being made into some sort of like functional tool that would benefit the user. But on the other hand, jewelry would be fun too.
Yeah, jewelry would be better. Not a spatula. I wouldn't want to be a spatula.
No, like, I would not want to be a spatula. That seems to push it. The carved like cups, like the goblets with like the cool other shit on it would be really nice.
Yeah.
I feel
like my body is rather desiccated for someone who's only 26. So I feel like my skeleton probably also reflects that. I think I'd make some pretty good like rock climbing chalk. Like, yeah. Just like mash that shit up
bones
and powder it.
Already have like help me carved into them.
Yeah.
Please.
What have you done?
Like, you know, like in horror movies when someone's like, oh my god, my shoulder's sore.
Yeah.
And then look at it and it says like, I'm here. It's that, but all over my whole skeleton.
It's the skeleton screaming for help.
Love that.
So, who is ready to play Katrina's amazing spooky Snogmaria Void?
I'm ready.
Hell yeah, let's go.
I'm so excited.
Sorry, I'm getting the thingy.
You're getting up. Okay, I will explain the rules. So in each round, we have three different creatures. It started as just cryptids, but then I thought I'd branch it out a bit.
Okay.
And so the rules of Snogmaria Void. If anyone doesn't know, the word snog is sort of like British slang.
Make out. For,
yeah, making out. Then you've got Maria Void. And so you've got to pick which creature you would snog, marry, and avoid from the three creatures that are on, that are in each round. But as we did discuss, because they are not all human or very human-like, we shall make it hug instead of snog if you wish to for any of the rounds, because might be a bit weird if it isn't.
I'm weird. I'll stick with snog.
Also, Kathy has supplied some wonderful images for us to make our choices.
Yes, with short descriptions. So I've picked some very well-known creatures that everyone will know, and some creatures we have discussed before on the podcast. We've done episodes about. So are the rules clear with everybody?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we shall begin. Round one, we have Bigfoot, aka Sasquatch, an ape-like creature that supposedly inhabits the forests of North America.
And Canada.
And Canada.
North America.
Yeah. We have Mothman, a winged humanoid creature first spotted in West Virginia in the 1960s. And then we have the beloved Robert the Doll.
Aww.
A terrifying, haunted slash possessed doll exhibited in the East Martello Museum, Florida, who is said to cause great misfortune for any visitor who angers him. And Lucy has her snow globe. So, shall we discuss who would you snog, marry, and avoid out of Bigfoot, Mothman, and Robert the Doll?
I have my answer already.
Go for it, girl.
Lucy.
Okay, I would avoid Bigfoot because rumor has it he stinks.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I would snog Robert because I wouldn't, I get good vibes from him. I think he's adorable, but I wouldn't want to marry him because you'd just be under his thumb all the time. You couldn't anger him.
Abusive relationship. Abusive. That's a red flag. Yeah.
And I definitely marry Mothman because he could just fly you around.
Yeah.
Just get on his back and.
And he's
around.
Like a pretty good dude. Like, isn't he said to like warn people for bad things that are supposed to come?
I think he has a good soul. His heart is in the right place.
I mean, I'm going to pretty much agree with Lucy on this one. What about you, Jasmine?
I think I would avoid Mothman.
Controversial.
Because he just looks fucked up. Oh no, don't like it. Not a fan. Don't like it. I would. I'm the only one drinking. Let's all bear that in mind. I'd marry Robert the Doll because he'll be mad otherwise. We don't want that. And I would snog the Sasquatch. Hell yeah, whatever. You know.
Oh, okay.
I feel like out of all of these guys, he's like the Chad of the group. So you could do it for clout.
And we all know how you love massive muscular
just love
men,
love him
hairy men
love him big old hairy
like
dude.
He'd be an excellent lover aside from the smell.
I just honestly think it would just be funny to be like, oh yeah, I made out with Bigfoot, so what? I feel like making out with him would be far less weird than marrying him, because like one weird kiss as opposed to like a lifetime of living with something that hairy and that smelly, like that's why I'm gay, no thank you, you know. And Robert is chill, he has his own little box, never have to see him.
Yeah.
You know, perfect husband. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, you can visit him.
I can visit him.
He can't necessarily visit you.
Yeah. If I'm nice, he won't bother me. And like, I mean, that's all you really want in a guy, let's be real.
And like, I have some friends, like Bigfoot is literally their taste in men. So.
Honestly, he doesn't seem like he's not that bad a guy. I feel like he is like the quintessential gentle giant, you know? He's just kind of there. Yeah. He's nice.
He's shy.
He's big. He's a bit, you know, hairy. And everyone's like, oh, bless him. Yeah, I think he's harmless. Mothman, especially in your pictures, Catty, he looks by far the most fucked up. He looks like...
He does.
Looks like he does meth.
Yeah.
I feel like he's like a winged meth man.
Meth man.
He's not moth man, he's meth man.
Meth man.
Disgusting. Yeah. I hate it.
Okay, so are we ready for round two?
Yes.
Ready.
So round two is the Loch Ness Monster, a large marine creature with a long neck, speculated to be a plesiosaur, which lives in the massive freshwater lake of Loch Ness, Scotland, El Chupacabra, a monstrous creature of Latin American folklore, which attacks animals, particularly goats, and consumes their blood. It's most often depicted as looking like a hairless coyote with spikes protruding from its back. And the Wendigo, a creature originating in Native American folklore, which is a malevolent, cannibalistic being, strongly associated with winter, famine, and starvation. Descriptions vary, but in general, it is a massive, skeletal-looking figure, with desiccated skin pulled tight over its bones, with long, sharp claws and large eyes. It also might be the result of, like, people who were starving resorting to cannibalism and then becoming monsters.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any thoughts? Snog / hug, marry, avoid any of these creatures?
Lucy first, maybe?
Sure. Mm. I think that I would marry the Wendigo because I've just always had a thing for the Wendigo, if I'm being honest.
He sounds like Machine Gun Kelly, but in an animal form.
Totally sounds like
winter, famine, and starvation. Wow.
Desiccated skin pulled tight over its bones.
Megan, what are you doing?
Yeah. I think I'd snog El Chupacabra just because kind of a badass. And I'd avoid the Loch Ness Monster because... You're cold, wet, you live in a cave. It sounds uncomfortable. It's not the right biome for me personally.
Okay, that's fair.
Catty?
See, I think it's so difficult. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the Chupacabra is just a coyote with mange.
Yeah.
So, I'd probably marry that so that I could live with it and pet it and grow its fur back and give it some TLC.
You sound like all of my friends who have married men.
It's true.
Feed it.
I'm going to care for it.
Yeah.
Just
I'm going to look after this severely broken creature and hope for the best.
People can change, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Then I would, and I'd probably avoid the Wendigo just because, you know, I'm tasty and I don't trust it not to eat me. And then I would snog / hug the Loch Ness Monster because I love dinosaurs, and if it's a plesiosaur, then that's like my dream.
True.
Because it'll please you. I'm sorry.
Funny. Go on, what about you, Jasmine?
I would marry the Loch Ness Monster. You know, I like the cold.
The damp.
I like being left. I like the cold and the damp. I like being left alone. So I would never see it, which is great. And I'm also a really good swimmer, so that's really fun as well. El Chupacabra, I would... Yeah, okay, yeah. I would hug slash snog El Chupacabra just because, you know what, it's not that bad a guy. Like, he only kills goats.
Fine.
Goats, yeah, goats are kind of weird, aren't they? They've got panoramic goats. Fucking
their eyes.
Their
eyes are fucking weird.
The little ones that, like, faint when they get stressed.
I don't
stressed.
Like it.
They have like horizontal cat eyes.
They look fucked up.
Though.
I'm not a
it's
fan.
It's weird.
Yeah, not a fan.
They've got weird eyes.
I mean, blessed goats. I don't. Okay, now. yeah, okay. So Chupacabra, snog slash hug. And the Wendigo, I would avoid that too. Looks like Machine Gun Kelly in an animal. And I don't like it.
You are also tasty.
I'm also delicious. And he does not deserve that. Yeah.
I'm sure Lucy is delicious, but they have a spiritual bond, so I'm sure that he won't eat her.
Oh yeah, Lucy, I'm sure that like you are completely safe.
I just always like him.
You know what, girl? Yeah. I'm happy for you. Go for it.
Whatever works for you, Lucy. Whatever works for you.
Actually, I love this because like none of our tastes would overlap, which is great. Actually,
yeah,
we're not competing.
Look at us. Well, it's great.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna get harder as we go through.
I just
thought. It's going to get harder. The next one, round three, we have Jasmine's favourite, which she did for the Christmas Spooky Girls episode, Frau Pirschte, an entity of Alpine folklore associated with Christmas, who can appear as either a beautiful young woman or gnarly old hag. Her trademark punishment for lazy or disobedient children is to disembowel them, gaining her the nickname the Belly Slitter. We tend to identify quite a lot
we
with
love the witches.
Especially like the hags that we cover. Yeah.
Just like the antisocial, mean. Mean ladies who are like, fuck you, where's my pet rat? Like, that's all we want in life.
Disemboweling children.
Then we have the Hairy Hands of Dartmoor. Ghostly, disembodied, hairy hands, which are said to take control of your vehicle and make it crash if you're travelling down a particular stretch of road in Dartmoor, Devon, in the UK.
I've never heard of that. That's so gross.
I know, it's
yeah,
horrible.
Yeah, we did an episode on them. It's vile. I tried to push the boat out sometimes in what we choose to do episodes about. But literal, just disembodied hairy hands.
That's all it is, kids.
Who knows what they might be good for?
Absolutely nothing.
And finally, we have the Jersey Devil. A legendary creature that's said to inhabit the Pine Barrens of South Jersey in the US. It's described as looking like a bizarre combination of a kangaroo-like body with a horse or goat-like head, horns, small arms with clawed hands, cloven hooves, a forked tail, and leathery bat-like wings. It moves very quickly and often emits a high-pitched, blood-curdling scream.
That's the most incredible description of anything ever.
That's a really great description.
It's
I love it. I feel like that's like...
it's a lot.
It's like every single drunk girl I've ever seen it in the bathroom, ever. Like just puking in the toilet.
Really top-heavy, massive head.
Yeah.
Cloven
tiny arms screaming.
Queen. Work it, baby. Work.
All right. Lucy. Well, should I go first again?
Always.
Yeah, if you've got your order sorted.
I'm going to marry Frau Perchta.
Good choice.
Same.
Because
absolutely
I love
same.
The Belly Slitter. Love it.
We
have too much in common not to spend the rest of our lives
what
together.
What a babe.
Yeah.
I'd avoid the hairy hands because... kind of gross. And I'd make out with the Jersey Devil because sounds like it'd be a trip.
An experience. Yeah. I definitely agree with you on Pirschte because, again, I also hate children and she's a queen. But I would avoid the Jersey Devil and, you know, I'd give the hairy hands...
a bit of what for, huh?
See what they can do.
I am exactly the same as Catty, okay?
Yeah.
Marry the hell out of Frau Perchta. Bitch has owned my soul since day one, honey. Oh. Hairy Hands of Dartmoor. That's all you really need. As for the Jersey Devil. yeah, that can fuck off. That can fuck right off. It looks like a llama. Like a fucked up...
Yeah, it does.
A fucked up cow goat llama with bat wings.
I don't know how it stands up. It's got tiny thin legs.
She looks diseased.
Yeah.
So round four, we have another of my favourite creatures that we have done an episode on. The Estri. Oh. A beautiful female vampire of Jewish folklore, which are able to fly and turn into various animals, most often birds or cats, but are rendered flightless if their hair is tied.
Well, that's my dream. Okay.
Then we have the Kappa, a demon or imp found in traditional Japanese folklore, which inhabits rivers and streams, and are depicted as green, childlike beings with webbed hands and feet and a turtle-like shell on their backs. They like to drown and eat people, but if you want to avoid this, you can placate a kappa by throwing a cucumber into the water where it lives.
So he's a vegetarian. Okay.
Except for people.
Oh, except for people. Yeah.
Except for all those pesky people. Yeah. And then we have the Hopkinsville goblins, alien creatures described as being 3.5 feet tall, with shimmering metallic looking bodies, almost perfect round oversized heads, large pointed ears, giant eyes that glowed yellow, long arms which almost reach the ground, and hands with sharp talons, may actually just be angry owls.
Owls are fucked up, though.
Owls are fucked up.
Do you know they sleep on their fronts? They just like plank face down. That's how they sleep.
Just like the head, like in fucking like full on Exorcist twist, going. Fucking face down. I love it. Great.
So I loved this story because it was just a bunch of hillbillies in the middle of nowhere, like 20 of them all in a cabin shooting at these creatures which might have just been really angry owls.
So I said this in that episode. I said I'm almost completely sure that it was a drug induced thing, like, because I've never taken acid, but I know that when you are that high, you are very, like, what's it called? Suggestible to other people, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone was like, oh my God, there's an alien, like, oh my God, yeah, I can see it too. You can definitely have, like, a shared kind of psychosis.
Yeah, like, glowing eyes and massive ears and, like, 3 foot tall and, like, being aggressive. Mm. They're just owls. They were, like, nesting owls.
Yeah.
But
either way, I'm into it.
Those poor owls. Okay, yeah,
alien or owl?
Lucy, honey, you first, baby.
I would marry the Estri, obviously, because I'm fucking insanely jealous of these powers. I would avoid the Kappa. I'm not a big fan of cucumbers.
That's the issue you have with them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And then I'd definitely make out with the goblins because they sound adorable.
Yeah, I'd say the same.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I was going to say the same as well, but now I feel pressured to change that. I think the Estri has to be wedded. I feel like we all owe that to her. The Kappa is pretty fucked up. I'm not going to lie. I'm not too keen on it. It could be an interesting experience to make out with it, but
it'd be very slimy. Slimy and cucumbery.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of cucumbers. Are quite strange.
I love, like, cucumbers. Actually.
They're like a long.
They're just water.
But it's not really. It's more like it's like a water stick. I can just drink water. and not bother eating it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's
a watermelon. Why? Yeah, like why? Why bother?
Oh no, celery's just gross.
Celery's disgusting. Celery's horrible. I don't like watermelon either. Yeah, just drink a glass of water.
Oh, see, watermelon's my favorite. I love watermelon.
Fuck, marry, kill watermelon.
fuck the water. fuck it up. Yeah. Fuck it up. Okay, so we are all in agreement.
Yeah.
Right.
And then finally, round five. This is basically from like the least self-confidence to the most is how I did these creatures. Okay. So round five. First creature is the squonk.
My baby.
A mythical creature said to live in the hemlock forests of northern Pennsylvania in the US. A pig-like creature with loose folds of skin covered in warts, which is so ashamed by its appearance that it hides from sight and spends most of its time weeping.
I love the squonk.
Poor guy.
Same.
I love it. It's so cute.
I know, it's gorgeous.
Katya and I were like crying over it. Like, we were like filming like a regular episode and had like a 20 minute fucking break to like discuss the squonk.
No, we weren't even doing an episode. This was just, you were like, look at this thing.
And you were like, oh my
and
god,
I nearly had a mental breakdown.
She was like, it looks like Billy, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it looks like one of my dogs. It does.
Oh my god.
Next up we have the Hulda, which we did an episode on. A Scandinavian forest creature which looks like a beautiful woman but hides a fox or cow's tail under her dress. A very sexual being, she will grant you good luck if you sleep with her, or instead curse you with bad luck if you anger her. Ooh. And last up, we have Zach Bagans.
Oh.
Dramatic ghost dude bro.
Babe. Zach, we love you.
Gosh, this is a hard one.
So the squonk, least confident but most identify with. Then we have the holder who, like, you know, she feels herself but she can take rejection. Mm. If you're very kind to her about it. And then most pinnacle of confidence, Zach Bagans,
my favorite cryptid.
I gotta say, I would avoid Zach Bagans. I think I'd marry the squonk and make out with the holder.
Oh my god.
I'd agree. I think the squonk I do identify with too much.
Yeah.
But then I don't know if we could have that much self-pity in our relationship.
You and the squonk would just be like, I hate myself, me too. Like,
yeah. I don't know if that's healthy.
Well, it would be like, you know, the way the same thing, you know, you marry any guy to give him a little boost. You can fix him. Every day, just make him look in the mirror and say, like, I am beautiful, I am important, I am smart.
Is that what you do to your husband?
Oh. No, but I should.
That's very sweet of you. I feel like it's wonderful how women choose to save men from themselves. We don't have to, but we do. So I would, I'm going to fuck that holder for sure. I do not want to be cursed, and she sounds fit. The squonk, sadly, I will have to avoid you, my dear.
No.
To avoid passing on more of the depression. Mm-mm. I'm gonna marry Zach Bagans because I want to own all of his shit. And there will be no prenup. So therefore, when I break up with him, it's all mine.
Nice. Love it.
Okay.
And what's mine is ours, Catty. So, you know, it's all good.
Thank you.
It's a nice roundabout kind of, you know, you give and you take.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, Zach, if you're listening to this, A, number one, I was kidding. B, number two, no, I wasn't. Actually, thank you for your service.
See, he started like, Twitter argument.
Please, I love Zach please Bagans. Fight with me. I love you. I feel
I want people to think that we're actually in a fight with Zach Bagans.
Should we make like a fake Zach Bagans account, like reallyzachbagans.com? Like, oh my god, I hate spooky gals. Like, no. Yeah, I would marry Zach Bagans to just like swindle him out of all of his wealth and all of his like cool shit. Mm-hmm.
I want that museum.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like, I'm sorry, yeah. Like, I marry for money. Okay. For money. And he has the money. I mean, his hair is really cool. He looks, he has the same hair as my ex-girlfriend, which is very disturbing. No, like, I will send you her picture, and the exact
the
same
glasses.
Hair. No, she didn't have glasses, but like the hair is identical.
I just can't with the blue steel looks.
Does he have a knuckle? Yeah. He has a knuckle tattoo and it's a crucifix.
Yeah. That's a hard avoid from me.
Marry me.
Marry me. He's too dramatic for me.
I love it. We love dramatic.
Every single time he goes and he's just like, I'm possessed. I'm going to go attack Aaron. And then
I love it. I love him
like,
so much.
That's it.
Like a hard, hard straight turn for Zach Bagans. I love you, baby. Oh,
yeah.
What a true. King. What a king. Kathy, that was amazing.
Yes, it was a great game.
Thank you. Make sure to let us know which ones you would pick out of the Snog Marry Avoid. I will upload this to I will somehow put it in the episode description so you can download and play for yourself. And let us know what your choices were.
We're gonna send all of it to Zach as well.
Yeah.
Just like, I want to get blocked by Zach Bagans. Mm. That is my goal.
Yeah. Just block. Achieve by the end of 2021.
I have faith that you can do this.
We manifest it. Mm. Manifest.
But yes, that's pretty much all we have for you.
Ta-da.
Today.
Well, thank you so much for having
thank
me.
Thank you so much for joining us, Lucy. It's been so fun.
Thank you, Lucy.
Sorry. We're a little strange.
No, I love it.
But so are you.
But you fit in well.
Yep.
That's what
exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, guys. But thank you so much, Lucy. You have been an absolute gem.
Thank you so much, Lucy.
Yes, thank you both.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, everybody else, so much for listening. And we hope to have you back for the next episode.
Yay.
Thank you.
If you want to get in touch for any reason, just to say hello or to send us a story of your own true paranormal or spooky experience, please email us at spookygirlspodcast@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Twitter at spookygirlspod and on Instagram at spookygirlspodcast. If you want to support us further, then you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/spookygirls, and from as little as $2 a month, you gain access to bonus episodes and other awesome content that we have planned for the future. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you all next time. Stay spooky. Goodbye!